Mark Chenoweth is the executive director of the new Civil Liberties Alliance and former chief of staff to Congressman Mike Pompeo. Mark, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Lars. It's great to be with you.
So when Joe Biden yesterday, with a roar of jets behind him, said, I won't tell you whether or not I plan to pack the Supreme Court until after the election, can we be pretty certain that means he is planning to do that if he's elected president?
I think so, Lars. I think that's a very suspicious thing to say. And it shouldn't be difficult. If he is against court packing, it should not be a difficult thing for him or any presidential candidate to repudiate such an authoritarian idea.
Agreed. And if he's for it, he should be able to say, yes, as a matter of fact, I think the U.S. Supreme Court should be much bigger. Although the argument for making it bigger, I guess the only argument could be if we think the current workload of the justices is too much, I don't think it is, or if they want to bring a great many additional cases to the Supreme Court and have the court hear a lot more cases, and so they want to make the court bigger. Other than that, is there any sensible argument in favor of making it a 15 or 17 or 19 member court?
No, not at all. It would completely delegitimize the Supreme Court to do that. And the court is near all-time lows in terms of the number of cases that it's hearing. So the suggestion that there need to be more members of the court for a workload sort of reason doesn't hold water either. I think that the only reason why a President Biden would want to pack the Supreme Court is if he thinks that the court is going to protect minority rights against the power of a overwhelming majority in the Congress and in the White House. But that's the whole point of a Supreme Court. The point of the court is to protect minority rights against any excesses of majority rule that violate the Constitution.
Well, and in fact, I've heard that rap put on the court. I'm not that happy with Chief Justice John Roberts and some of the weird reasoning he's used to find, for instance, Obamacare constitutional. But Joe Biden posits it in various speeches he's given and in the debate is, well, the current Supreme Court will only side with the big guys and the rich guys and the companies. That's not the case at all. In fact, an awful lot of the most famous court cases that we've seen decided by the Supreme Court are about protecting the little guy who finally gets to the court. I think of Mark Janus, you know, who said, I'm a state worker in Illinois and I don't want to belong to a union. Do I have to belong to a union or are my rights being infringed? And the Supreme Court said, you're right. Your rights were being infringed. And they gave him that freedom. That was the little guy winning over the big guys, the unions, and a lot of the people in public office who love the unions.
That's exactly right. Or take the example of the Little Sisters of the Poor. The Obamacare statute did not say that there was a mandate in it for providing contraception to employees, but the regulations as written by the Obama administration did have such a requirement, and they wouldn't even put an exception in there for nuns who've taken a vow of chastity. They were trying to order the nuns to force contraceptive coverage. And of course that issue has now been up to the Supreme Court twice, and the nuns have won both times. And I'm afraid if it goes up there again under a Biden administration that the nuns may have to prevail a third time before they finally are able to be rid of that particular thing. But, you know, Lars, people forget we've had, a big deal being made out of the fact that six of the justices, if Barrett is confirmed, would be Republican appointees. We've had a 6-3 court before. In fact, we had a 7-2 court as recently as the 1990s. And so the idea that just because a judge or justice has been appointed by a Republican president means that we're going to have an overwhelming right-wing conservative court, I don't remember the 1990s as having an overwhelming right-wing Supreme Court. Do you?
No, I don't. And in fact, I think in looking at this, you tell me, because you're the expert, but if you look at it as conservative versus liberal, I look at it as originalist. That is, people who say, this is what the Constitution says. And no, I don't find secret messages about marriage, which is never mentioned in the Constitution. I don't see secret messages about privacy, because privacy is never mentioned in the Constitution. But we can imagine that somewhere in between the lines, we find those things. That's the thing I object to. Not conservative or liberal, but the idea that you read the Constitution as it was written. And I think I actually had a U.S. member of the Senate. He's never come on this show, but Senator Jeff Merkley said as recently as 2 weeks ago that for decades the U.S. Supreme Court, these are his words, has served as a third legislative branch of government. Was there ever any inclination of the founders or instruction from the founders that we should have not just the House and the Senate, but a third legislature that would write laws?
Not at all. And in fact, when you think about it, the life tenure that these judges have is there precisely so that they can push back against the legislative branches, right? So the legislative branches are there for 2 years in the House, 6 years in the Senate. The president's elected for 4 years, fairly short periods of time, because our founders didn't like the life appointed King George III, right? They were very distrustful of power associated with lifetime appointments. And so the only person in our Constitution who gets a lifetime appointment is the judge that has the power to push back against that sort of legislative power. And that's why judges cannot be legislating from the bench.
No, and they're not answerable to the people either, are they? Because, as you said, you can have a Republican appoint a Supreme Court justice, and all of a sudden, he doesn't act as a conservative. And you say, well, we want to remove him. It is theoretically possible to remove a justice, although I doubt I'll see it in my lifetime. But for the most part, they're insulated from the day-to-day, year-to-year politics of America. And that was by design. But do we want people writing laws who are not answerable to the public in a Republican form of government?
It's antithetical to the whole concept of our Constitution to have that. And you make a good point, Lars, too, that it is possible to remove a justice. So if you had someone up there who was behaving in a completely inappropriate way, not that you just disagreed with their analysis of the Constitution or of a statute, but was actually failing to do their job or behaving in some sort of inappropriate way, then that justice should be removed. You shouldn't add any new justices to the court. That's not a solution.
It just seems odd. We've got the first president in American history, and I believe I'm correct in saying that, who's ever said, here's the list of people I'll make federal judges if you make me president. And Americans seem to love the idea. An awful lot of people voted for Donald Trump because they said he told us who the judges are going to be, and he's held to that list. And then we've got Joe Biden saying, I won't tell you the list of judges, and I won't tell you if I plan to pack it. I'll give you the last 20 seconds.
Well, I think you have to remember, too, Lars, that part of this is aimed at cowing the existing members of the Supreme Court. Even if he never packs the Supreme Court or does anything close to it, he's trying to hold that out there as a sword of Damocles, that idea that he might pack the court over the head of people like Chief Justice Roberts in order to try to make them fearful of doing the right thing in some of the cases that may come before them during a Biden administration.
Absolutely. Mark Chenoweth, who is Executive Director of the New Civil Liberties Alliance. Mark, thanks so very much.